click the subscribe button, hit the bell icon to never miss another update.
About 1,400 years ago, thousands of people were born. But the birth of only one of them represented a strange event, which revealed divine secrets. On Friday, 13th Rajab, 30 years after the year of the elephant, God led Fatima, the daughter of Asid, to the great Kaaba. The wall of the Kaaba was broken to make her enter. And her newborn came from House of God, which was raised by Ibrahim and Ismail. This child was named Ali, the Most High. Imam Ali was brought up as a role model. He was given the education that would make him carry out responsibilities that only the guardians of the prophets could undertake. Imam Ali was still a child when his cousin, the messenger of God, Muhammad, may God bless him, and his family, invited him to live with him. At that time, he had not been commanded to declare his prophethood. Since that time, Imam Ali accompanied his sponsor and great mentor, and absorbed all his teachings. And printed his characteristics on his own personality. Have you seen a child follow his mother? That was how Imam Ali stayed with the Prophet. He used to go with him to the cave of Hira regularly and witness the greatest event on earth, which was the start of the prophetic mission on 27th of Rajab. Imam Ali was no more than 10 years old. At that time when he testified that Angel Gabriel brought the message to the Messenger of God in the cave of Hira. Even the Messenger of God told him, "You hear what I hear and see what I see." Except that you are not a prophet, but you are my successor. Imam Ali endorsed the invitation in his childhood, and indeed, he is the one who has the title of the most truthful. When Imam Ali was 13 years old, he took a position that only the guardians of the prophets could take. In the third year of the prophet's mission, Gabriel's voice was heard by the Messenger of God with alarm and warned, "O Muhammad, your closest relatives." The prophet ordered Imam Ali to provide some food and invite all his uncles and their sons to a banquet so that he could call them to Islam. After having the food, the prophet said, "I invite you to the best in this world and in the afterlife, and God has ordered me to call you to it. So, which of you will assist me in this mission, and I will make him my brother and my successor, and my caliph?" Nobody responded to him. But Imam Ali, who was the youngest of all, said, "A prophet, I will assist you." The prophet said, "This is my brother and my successor among you. Listen to him and obey him." This was the promise made between two men that will span the next 30 years. And history witnesses the fact that Imam Ali kept this promise in every way possible. In In the sixth year of the Prophet's mission, the Muslims, mainly Bani Hashim, were besieged in the valley of Abu Talib by the polytheists, and were prohibited from trade and placed under curfew. In this period and on several occasions, Abu Talib ordered Imam Ali to sleep where the Prophet used to sleep in order to protect the Prophet's life. He also used to secretly leave and go to Mecca to bring food to the trapped people of Bani Hashim. Three years of bitter days were the most dangerous and difficult time during the youth of Imam Ali. Shortly after the siege ended, Imam Ali lost his father in the 10 year of prophetic mission. With the demise of great supporters and helpers like Abu Talib and Lady Khadija, the situation became more difficult for the Muslims in Mecca. Holy Prophet went to Taif and called the tribe of Thaqif and other chiefs of Taif to Islam. But they reacted by injuring him through stoning. Imam Ali was his companion, and defended him from the violent crowd. One night, the Prophet and Imam Ali went to the Kaaba, and broke and smashed the idols in the Kaaba. In the morning, the people of Mecca saw what has happened, and they all said this act is similar to what was done by Prophet Abraham, and this must have been done by Muhammad and his cousin. This event was later on repeated after the conquest of Mecca. In the 13th year of the prophetic mission, the people of Mecca planned to kill the Holy Prophet. The Prophet was informed of the conspiracy of the polytheists to murder him on the night. He had planned to embark on his emigration, so Imam Ali, 23 years old at the time, was asked to sleep where the Prophet used to sleep, so that the Prophet could secretly leave his house. By doing this, Imam Ali put himself in absolute danger to meet a certain death. In order to save the Prophet's life and help him to leave for a cave and later migrate to Medina. The house was under surveillance by the polytheists, and before dawn, they entered the house to kill Prophet Muhammad. But they found Imam Ali sleeping in his bed instead. To praise this act of bravery and courage to face certain death. In order to help the Prophet, it was mentioned in the Holy Quran. And among the people is he who sells his soul life, seeking the pleasure of God, and God is most kind to his servants. The next night after the beginning of the migration, Imam Ali with another friend went to the cave. The Prophet asked Imam Ali to give back all the entrusted goods to their owners before starting journey to Medina. Imam Ali stayed in Mecca for 3 days and then asked people that if anyone has anything that was with the Prophet, then they can take it from him. After he returned the trusted goods, he started the migration to Medina with three ladies, all named Fatima. One of them was Fatima, daughter of the Holy Prophet. The Prophet reached the place of Quba and stayed there for nearly 10 days at the place of a local tribe. They asked the Prophet, "Do you want to reside here? We can prepare a house for you." He answered, "I am waiting for Ali, as I told him to join me and he will come quickly, God willing." After 3 days, Imam Ali joined the Prophet at Quba, and then Prophet left for Medina with him.
ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله.
After migration to Medina, the Prophet told his companions, "Every pair of you be brothers in the way of God." The Prophet made pacts of brotherhood between Muhajirin and Ansar, but he did not make anyone Imam Ali's brother. Instead, he himself made a pact of brotherhood with Imam Ali. Imam Ali, at the age of 25, married Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. Despite the fact that there were several prominent figures who had proposed marriage to her, the Prophet said, "None can be an equal partner for her but Ali," and himself solemnized their marriage. Imam Ali had an influential role in battles. He was the commander of the Islamic army in many battles. He remained with the Prophet in the battles where other Muslims escaped and continued to fight. The Battle of Badr was the first battle between the Muslims and the idolaters of Mecca. It took place on Friday, 17th of Ramadan, second year of Hijra, along with the Wells of Badr. In this battle, the Muslims killed 70 of the idolaters, including a few influential chiefs like Abu Jahl and Utbah. It was an Arab custom to precede the general battle with a few one-on-one combats. So, Utbah, his son, Walid, and his brother, Shaybah came forward and wanted the Prophet to send a few worthy opponents to the battlefield to fight with them. The Prophet sent Imam Ali, Hamza and Ubaidah. Ali struck Walid quickly, as did Hamza to Utbah, killing them quickly. They then went on to help Ubaidah against Shaybah, killing him too. In this battle, Ali killed many combatants, including prominent figures of the army of Mecca, such as Walid bin Utbah, Nafil, Hansala bin Abu Sufyan. This event led to creating the enmity against Imam Ali and tribes of Quraysh that resulted later in oppression on him and his progeny during the course of history. The event of Uhud shows how Imam Ali supported Prophet as his true successor. In third year of Hijra, the polytheists of Mecca waged the Battle of Uhud against the Muslims to compensate their defeat in the Battle of Badr. Imam Ali, Hamza and a few others led the Muslim army in the Battle of Uhud, disheartening the enemy's ranks. However, a group of polytheists managed to encircle the Muslims' army in this battle. After the victory of the polytheists, many Muslims fled the battleground and left the Prophet alone. Imam Ali was one of the few who did not leave the Prophet and defended him. Imam Ali is reported to have said, "The immigrants and helpers were fleeing to their houses, but despite having 70 wounds, I stayed and defended the Messenger of God." Paying tribute to the dedication that Imam Ali showed, Angel Gabriel, in praise of Imam Ali's self-sacrifice, said to the Prophet, "This is the ultimate devotion that Imam Ali has shown." The Prophet agreed with Gabriel and said, "I am from Ali and he is from me." A voice then echoed in the sky, saying, "There is no man like Ali and there is no sword like Zulfikar." Not long before the emergence of Islam and before the occurrence of the Battle of Uhud, Banu Nazir had relationships with Abu Sufyan. After the Prophet's immigration to Medina, like other Jewish tribes, Banu Nazir made a compromise treaty with Muslims, promising to help them defend Medina in the case of any attacks. Refusing to provide financial and life supports for the polytheists of Quraysh, as well as commercial relations with them. But since Banu Nazir breached the treaty, the Battle of Banu Nazir occurred in fourth year of Hijra. The Prophet appointed Abdullah bin Maktoum as his successor in Medina and sieged Banu Nazir with an army under the commandership of Imam Ali for 15 days. During the siege, a Jewish person called Azwaq attempted to kill the Prophet, but he was killed by Imam Ali. Finally, the Jews surrendered and accepted to leave Medina with only one load of a camel of their property, except army equipment, silvers and golds. Being exiled by the Prophet, owing to their disloyalty, Banu Nazir tribe went to Khyber and instigated other Jews to arrange a war against Muslims. After that, some Jews went to Mecca and encouraged Abu Sufyan and Quraysh to begin a war against Prophet Muhammad. Abu Sufyan accepted their plan with open arms, thus Jews and Quraysh got unified. In the Battle of Trench, in 5th year of Hijra, as suggested by Salman Farsi, the Muslims dug a trench around Medina, in order to keep the enemy away from the city. For several days, the two armies confronted each other on opposite sides of the trench. They would sometimes fight, throwing stones and arrows. Finally, Ammar, along with a few others, jumped over the trench at its narrowest part and managed to reach the other side. Ammar was a luminary prominent for his great valor, considered as equal as 1,000 warriors, in terms of being warlike and courageous. Having been injured in the Battle of Badr, thus being deprived of participating in the Battle of Uhud, Ammar was fresh enough to throw down the challenge and call for an opponent. Even though Imam Ali volunteered to fight with him, the Prophet did not allow him, hoping that someone else would stand against him. No one became a volunteer, owing to their fear. Ultimately, Imam Ali got ready to begin the combat, with the Prophet's permission. The Prophet put his turban on Imam Ali's head, gave his sword to him, and sent him to the battle. Imam Ali proceeded and told Ammar either to become Muslim, or to call off the combat. Ammar refused both suggestions, therefore a very difficult battle took place. While Imam Ali and Ammar were fighting, the Prophet stated, "The whole Islam has confronted the whole Kufr." Imam Ali warded Ammar stroke off by his shield, then took his life by a strong stroke, resulting in all his companions' escape. Imam Ali recited Takbir right after his victory over Ammar. Imam Ali's action of killing Ammar helped Islamic army significantly to be victorious over the polytheists. About it, the Prophet said, "Ali's stroke was superior to all jinns or humans worship combined." After the Battle of Azab, Muslims headed to the stronghold of Banu Qurayza and besieged them. After about a month, Jews surrendered and proposed the arbitration. One of the reasons to surrender was the fear of the warrior like Imam Ali, who has recently killed Ammar, and his bravery was getting famous across Arabia. After siege is over, then Prophet gave a sermon and said, "O Muhajirin and Ansar, behold my will, that after me, Ali is my deputy and successor. And make sure you do not forget this will of mine." So that the Prophet, in 6th year of Hijra, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed between the Prophet and Quraysh, whose scribe was Imam Ali. After the agreement was made on the release of the captured ones, the Prophet and the representative of Quraysh signed a peace treaty. Since the Prophet knew the benefits of this peace treaty, he showed a great tolerance for their requests. One example of which was accepting the request of Quraysh for a meeting in the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the Most Merciful, and instead writing, "In your name, O God," and also omitting the title of Messenger of God after the name of the Prophet and instead writing Muhammad bin Abdullah. Army flags and their flag bearers were key aspects of war at that time. Let's talk about the important flag and the great flag bearer of Khyber. In the 7th year of Hijra, when the Jews of Khyber started spreading conspiracies about Islam, the Prophet issued a command to attack the Jewish fortresses. The Islamic army tried to conquer different forts of Khyber, but they were unable to capture the fortress. Many soldiers from the Islamic army tried different methods, but they failed to conquer the fort. Then the Holy Prophet said, Tomorrow I will give the flag to a man who loves God and his prophet, and God and his prophet also love him. The next morning, the prophet called Imam Ali and gave the flag to him. Imam Ali conquered the fort by killing Marhab, the feared Jewish warrior who was famous for his strength and might in all of Arabia. Traditions state that near the gate of the fort, a man hit Imam Ali with his sword and the shield fell from the Imam's hand, so he had to use the door of the fort as his shield. He went on fighting with that door in his hand until he conquered the fort and gave the good news to the Prophet. It is said that the door was so heavy that only 40 or 70 people could bear to lift it. The crucial conquest of Khyber by Imam Ali is one of his virtues agreed upon by all historians. 12,000 soldiers on horseback, at the Valley of Yabes, assembled and took an oath that they would not separate until they had slain Muhammad and Ali. The Prophet tried to send his companions and soldiers to fight, but they all failed. Eventually, the Prophet sent Imam Ali with an army of Muhajirin and Ansar against the formidable foe. Imam Ali encamped when he approached the enemy and said to them, "I am Ali, the cousin and brother of the Prophet and his messenger, and I am commanded to summon you to testify the divine unity and the prophethood of Muhammad. Therefore, embrace Islam and share the prosperity and wealth of the Muslims." The infidels replied, "You are just the man we wanted to meet. Get ready for battle and know that we shall slay you and your army. I ask for the aid of Allah, angels and the Muslims, and verily, there is no might or power greater than the Almighty Allah." Replied Imam Ali, and both parties retired to their respective camps. Just before dawn, the Muslims performed prayers, and it was still dark when Imam Ali attacked the enemy, whom he destroyed completely. According to the command of the Prophet, he slew their fighting men, took their women and children as captives, plundered their goods, destroyed their houses, and then returned to Medina. On the morning of the victory, Gabriel came to the Prophet and informed him about the victory of Imam Ali. The Prophet then mounted the pulpit and announced Imam Ali's triumph, and informed them that only 2 Muslims were slain in the battle. The Prophet and the people of Medina went towards the outskirts of the city to meet Imam Ali and his victorious army on their return. After the conquest of Mecca and the victory in the Battle of Hunain, during the 8th year of Hijra, Prophet Muhammad decided to expand his mission. The Prophet sent Imam Ali to Yemen with a letter which he wrote for the Yemenites. Imam Ali read the Prophet's letter for the people and called them to Islam. As a result of Imam Ali's efforts, the tribe of Hamdan embraced Islam. Imam Ali informed the Prophet of Hamdan's conversion. The news made the Prophet happy, and he prayed for the tribe of Hamdan. Then a conflict is reported between Imam Ali and the tribe of Madhaj. Imam Ali went to their land and called them to Islam. They rejected him, and a battle took place, in which Madhaj was defeated. The Prophet also appointed Imam Ali as a judge in Yemen and prayed for him to make sound judgments. After the Prophet passed away on Safar 28, 11th year of Hijra, and after his demise, the rightful successor of the Prophet and the leader of the Muslim community was Imam Ali. However, when Imam Ali was occupied with performing the burial rituals and ceremony for the Prophet, a group of the companions gathered in Saqifa and elected Abu Bakr as the caliph and successor of the Prophet. Imam Ali refused to pledge his allegiance to Abu Bakr. Then the companions of Abu Bakr invaded Imam Ali's house to force him to pledge allegiance, during which incident Fatima was hurt and had a miscarriage. Abu Bakr also confiscated Fadak, to which Imam Ali objected in defense of Fatima. The invasion of the Imam's house resulted in Fatima's illness, and led to her martyrdom after 75 days of Prophet's death. Abu Bakr passed away in 13 year of Hijra. Before his death, he appointed Umar as his successor. Umar ruled for 12 years and Imam Ali during this period remained aside and only provided his advice when asked for. When Umar was assassinated in 23 Hijra and before his death, He appointed a council of 6 members, including Imam Ali, to choose the next caliph. Umar also granted Abd al-Rahman bin Auf a decisive vote in the council. Abd al-Rahman first asked Imam Ali whether he was ready to accept the caliphate with the condition of acting according to the Quran and according to the conduct of the Prophet, Abu Bakr and Umar. The Imam refused to accept the condition of acting according to the conduct of the first two caliphs and said, "I hope I will act according to the Book of God and the conduct of the Prophet to the extent of my knowledge, capacity, and ijtihad." Abd al-Rahman then asked Uthman the same question. Uthman accepted the condition, and thus became the next caliph after Umar. In 35 Hijra, public dissatisfaction with Uthman's conduct reached its peak, and a group of people besieged his house. Prior to this incident, Imam Ali had reportedly left Medina to Yanbu per Uthman's request. However, the Imam Ali asked Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein to protect the caliph. Notwithstanding, the rebels murdered Uthman and, afterward, the people gathered around Imam Ali, urging him to accept the caliphate. His caliphate. In 35 Hijra, after the assassination of Uthman, Imam Ali became the caliph and the leader of the Muslim Ummah. Except some of the close people to Uthman and some companions, all the companions in Medina pledged their allegiance to Imam Ali. 2 days after the beginning of his caliphate, in his first sermon, Ali urged that all the wealth and properties that had been unjustly taken must be returned, and emphasized justice with regard to the distribution of public properties and wealth. In 36 Hijra, Talha and Zubair broke their allegiance to Imam Ali and headed to Makkah to join Aisha, who had called for revenge against the murderers of Uthman. With their supporters, Aisha, Talha, and Zubair left Makkah for Basra to start the Battle of the Camel, the first civil war in the Muslim history. The battle broke out near Basra between Imam Ali and the supporters of Aisha, Talha, and Zubair and ended with the latter's defeat. Talha and Zubair were killed and Aisha was sent to Medina. Imam Ali went to Basra and declared general amnesty. Then, in Rajab 36 Hijra, he entered Kufa and made the city his capital. In the same year, Imam Ali called Mu'awiyah to pledge his allegiance to him. When Mu'awiyah rebelliously refused to recognize the Imam's caliphate, Imam Ali decided to remove him from the governorship of Syria and embarked on a military expedition to Damascus against Mu'awiyah in Shawwal 36 Hijra. Thus, a battle that took place between the two parties in an area called Siffin towards the end of the year 36 Hijra and the beginning of 37 Hijra. As the army of the Imam Ali was about to win the battle, Amr bin, alas, advised Mu'awiyah to have his troops lift copies of the Quran on their lances and call the army of Ali to the Quran's arbitration. Under the pressure of his army, the Imam accepted the arbitration and was forced to introduce Abu Musa al-Ash'ari as the arbitrator from his side. However, shortly after the Imam's acceptance of the arbitration, a number of his troops objected to his decision and, referring to some verses of the Quran, demanded that the war with Mu'awiyah should continue. They considered the acceptance of arbitration an act of apostasy, from which they repented. While some of them were among the ones who had forced the Imam to accept the arbitration, the objectors demanded that the Imam also must repent and violate his agreements with Mu'awiyah. The Imam rejected their demands and announced that he would continue the war with the Syrian army if the two arbitrators did not arbitrate based on the Quran. During the arbitration, Amr bin, alas, the arbitrator from Mu'awiyah's side, deceived Abu Musa into announcing that they had agreed on the removal of both Mu'awiyah and Ali from power. When Abu Musa announced so, Amr rose and announced that he also removed Ali from power but made Mu'awiyah the sole ruler of the Muslim community. The Imam's companions objected to the arbitration, and some of them, who later formed the first Qarjiites, considered the acceptance of the arbitration an act of apostasy, left the Imam's army, and gathered in Harura instead of returning to Kufa. The objections of the Qarjiites continued for 6 months. Imam Ali sent few companions to talk to them and convince them to end their protest, a request which the Qarjiites refused. He also wrote a letter to the leaders of the Qarjiites and asked them to return to the community, but one of the Qarjiites leaders reminded the Imam that he had committed an act of apostasy and must repent. The Imam also called Qarjiites several more times through prominent figures to return and granted them amnesty if they did so. However, when none of the solutions worked, Imam Ali decided to confront them with an army of 14,000 men. The two armies met in an area called Nairwan. Imam Ali emphasized that his troops should not begin the battle. So the Qarjiites started the battle and were soon defeated. All of them were either killed or wounded, whereas only less than 10 soldiers from the Imam's army were killed in the battle. The wounded from the Qarjiites were returned to their families. Only 10 Qarjiites could flee the battleground, one of whom was Abd al-Rahman bin Muljim al-Muradi, the assassinator of Imam Ali. Ibn Muljim attacked the Imam on the eve of Ramadan 19:40 Hijra in the mosque of Kufa and wounded him with his poisoned sword. 2 days later, on 21st Ramadan, Imam Ali was martyred at the age of 63 and was secretly buried.